Welcome to the Wags of SCI podcast, where we discuss life, love, and caregiving after spinal cord injury, hosted by Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
Both of our partners are quadriplegics, and after connecting online in 2017, we began the advocacy and support group Wags of SCI, which is an acronym for Wives and Girlfriends with Spinal Cord Injury.
We know firsthand the challenges that come with living this lifestyle, and our mission is to spread education, awareness, and positivity from our unique perspectives.
So join us each week as we tackle deep discussions around balancing life as a caregiver and a lover to someone with a spinal cord injury.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Wags of SCI podcast. Here we go. Before we begin this episode, we wanted to give a little disclaimer to all of our listeners. What you're about to listen to is an episode with frank discussions on mental, emotional, and spiritual health and well-being. We discuss our own perspectives on the subject matter and our own unique experiences that are unique to us. While we are highly educated, and we both have university degrees in psychology, sociology, communications, and media, we are not licensed psychologists, psychiatrists, or medical doctors. All the advice and feedback that we give, as well as sharing our stories, are ours alone and based on our experiences. Every single person on the planet is very different, and every healing journey is unique. Please keep that in mind when we share our experiences. And if you have questions about your own mental wellness, or if you want to ask an expert about anything that you're dealing with or struggling with, please consult a licensed psychologist or psychiatrist or someone in your area that you know and trust. We thank you and we hope you enjoy this episode. Everybody, and welcome back to the Wags of SCI podcast with your hosts, Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget. Today, we are kicking off the year by talking about mental health. And mental health has been a huge one in our community, particularly from being a caregiver, whether you've been with your partner while they sustained their spinal cord injury, and of course, the pandemic. So before we get into that, I'm going to switch it over to Brooke.
So we wanted to start the year off by thanking our amazing sponsors. So these women are actually very important to us. They allow us to keep podcasting, keep going with the group. So firstly, obviously our main sponsor, Robin Wishart. You all know her and love her by now. She helps us behind the scenes with any legal resources that are needed. Including advocacy, filling out paperwork, benefits, all that stuff, questions that you may have about your partner's disability. She also can take on your case for you. So she works North American wide, and she's available literally 24 hours a day to answer your questions. So if you want to learn more about Robin, go to our website. It's wagsofsci.com and click on legal resources. It's the tab right at the top. You can also go to her website at brainandspinelaw.com and learn more about what she does and how she works with us. Then secondly, Annalisa and her husband, John, they own Rolling in Paradise, which is an adaptive equipment company. So these two have been following the WAGS journey since the very beginning, and we love them. They're so supportive of not just us, but also the community. So they provide awesome equipment, anything from adaptive hand cycles to Hoyer lifts to accessories, and they ship all over North America. They are available anytime to answer all questions, and they know what this life is like because Annalisa is a WAG of SCI herself, and John is a quadriplegic. They live in Florida, and they're just awesome. So thank you to both our sponsors. We're kicking off the new year with your guys' help. If you're listening, we are so grateful to you. So visit rollingandparadise.com and you can learn more about John and Annalisa and what they're doing and how they can help you.
Absolutely. So to get into our topic today, Brooke, this is a big one. This is something that we've actually been wanting to sort of dive into for the past, year, because we've had our own personal experiences with mental health, with thinking that we're losing our mental health and getting back
back into it and being able to heal ourselves with the help of some very important people that we have in our own circle. So we want to start off by saying that this is a topic that is so so often described and discussed in our community, especially on the private group. There's so many women that come forward, especially if they had been the partner of somebody who sustained a spinal cord injury during the time that they were together. And so that has left, I think that I always say new traumas bring up old traumas if you don't heal them. And that is something that I think a lot of us are experiencing. And then of course, with the pandemic, all of us, every single person on this planet has been affected by the pandemic. So that has also brought up a lot of things for basically you, your dog, and your neighbor and their dog and everybody you know. So we want to get into that a little bit. But before we do, Brooke, why don't you share a little bit of what mental health means to you?
So I think that mental health is everything. Mental and emotional health is everything. From my experience, what you think about, what you feel, and what you project, and your attitude and perspective is everything. And it's more important than our physical reality. I am one of those people who, and I haven't just read about it, I actually live it and believe it. I believe that our physical manifestations, who we are, down to our body, down to our choices, down to our situations, is a product of our thoughts and our choices and our beliefs and our past experiences, but also our traumas. And I know people get their backs up about this because the first step in true healing, in my perspective, is getting out of victim mentality. And I know we talk about this a lot, and we've talked about this in previous podcast episodes. But what is the most important thing is that mental health is your perspective, and it is dealing with what is inside of you. A lot of people think that your mental health is your thoughts, and, you know, you may have chemical imbalances or whatever you've been diagnosed. I happen to believe with all of my heart, through my own personal experience, that whatever's going on in your head has everything to do with what's going on in your body and stored traumas. This can actually be backed up in very recent research. The holistic psychologist, Dr. Nicole LaPera, as well as Peter Levine, as well as Dr. Joe Dispenza, as well as many other neuroscientists and scientists, they have been able to pinpoint that traumas that are stored in the body do not go away. If you understand physics at all, you would know that time doesn't exist. You know, we could get into this, but now's not the episode. This is more just an intro episode. But if you understand physics and you understand that time doesn't really exist, your body is an imprint of every single thing that you have done, seen, been, felt over your lifetime. And they are now tying it to past lifetimes, including ancestors, mm-hmm. including people you're related to, that get transferred down through your genetics. I'm not talking about, oh, just illnesses and diseases. I'm talking about traumas that have happened to your parents, grandparents, sometimes 20 generations ago. So for me, mental health is the one thing that I think everybody should be investing all of their time in, as far as figuring out why they think the way that they think, figuring out what beliefs that they play by, what rules they live by, whose thoughts they're thinking, because a lot of thoughts aren't even your own. They're given to you by your parents. And just being able to examine that from a clear state and work backwards. It's very, very overwhelming to start, but yeah, that's what mental health means to me. Mental health means a practice that is an everyday thing that becomes something that you live. And it's just really unfortunate to me that we live in a society that doesn't support this. But like you said earlier, you know, we've heard a lot over the news the past year that we're in a quote mental health crisis around the world. And why do you think that is? Because we live in a society that doesn't value working on the insides. We value productivity. We value money. We value consumerism. We value showing off what you're doing via a lens over social media. We don't truly have a way to value mental health because it's not
it's, you can't measure it. You can't quantify it. It is a personal experience and it's different for everybody. And so that's where science has trouble, because it's something that is very personal and unique to everybody. And you can't just put a mask or a blanket over it. And you can't just put statistics over it, because everybody is different. Everybody has different traumas. And so that's why I'm really, really happy that we're doing a series on this, because there's a lot to explore here. And, you know, I mean, you've had some very, very interesting experiences with your own mental health journey over the past year, specifically, even over the past few months specifically. And you've agreed to, Elena's agreed to do a full episode where she discusses her experiences getting off her medications, which is something that we get a lot of people asking about that. And so I guess I'll flip it on you, Elena. What does mental health mean to you?
Well, yes, I have agreed to openly discuss the roller coaster of mental health this year. But I think one thing to keep in mind is that every single person on this planet has, I guess, so to speak, mental health issues, challenges. I think that was one thing that throughout the year, it was really important for me to keep in mind. And something that my mom told me early on in my life was, you know, and it was like groundbreaking for me. I remember being like a teenager, trying to process a lot of my emotions with being adopted from Russia and thinking, you know, nobody understood because everybody had their typical family, mom, dad, and nobody had been through a lot of the things that I had been through as a child or a teenager. And a lot of that was really hard for me to digest. And I did seek therapy quite early on in my life, but I remember the most groundbreaking thing that I had ever heard was my mom saying, you know, Elena, you think you're the only person with problems, but everybody has problems. And that's when I remember going to bed being like, oh my God, what? Other people have problems? Other people have these feelings and emotions? And, you know, it was just really, really, it still is. It's such a good thing to keep in mind. It's a good perspective to keep in mind that we're not the only ones in our suffering in processing these things. So I think mental health for me, the biggest thing that I can say, the takeaway is to really feel it, to feel your feelings, to process them, allow them to go through your body. And even that in itself, I know a lot of people are thinking like, what do you mean allow myself to feel the feelings? I can't. I have kids or work or partner or groceries or laundry or this. I can't afford to have, you know, to really sit with my feelings and feel them. I might have a breakdown. And I think a lot of that too is there's a lot of misconceptions around that in itself, where people feel like it's inconvenience for them to kind of go and do the work for themselves. But like we always say, that if you don't do the work now, if you don't process your emotions or seek help from a professional, that it will show up in your body later on as disease. And that's something that we continuously speak on, especially having partners with spinal cord injuries, is being able to say, okay, this is really rough. This really sucks. But am I willing to sit in my own crap for a while and allow it to flow through me and also be still in it and be able to sort of process it and say, yeah, this doesn't feel that great right now, but it's okay, because you will come out on the other top or on the top eventually, even if it takes, how old am I now? 35 years. I mean, I don't think that there is any sort of like cookie cutter mold for people to process anything. The biggest thing for myself this year has been to take the challenge of getting off of SSRIs. I have been very open about this because I do believe that our world is shifting and perspectives are shifting. And also, I'm not a huge proponent in big pharma. And that's something that I think can be extremely empowering, realizing that we do have the tools that we need and we actually are capable of taking our own health into our own hands without outsourcing to pharmaceuticals or physicians necessarily. That being said, I believe that therapists are amazing people. I believe that they serve a huge purpose. Even a therapist should have a therapist. And So yeah, I guess I'm here to discuss a little bit about that, a little bit of getting off SSRIs. And Brooke has been there through my journey with me. Even when I'm falling down in the sand, trying to get into the ocean water to go for a swim with brain zaps and the whole bit. So that's been a gift in itself to be able to experience that with somebody else.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the reason we do what we do is to provide community to women like us who are in stressful relationships. There's no sugarcoating it. It is stressful what we deal with on a daily basis. And in order to be able to be resilient dealing with these stresses that become routine stresses, you have to heal. You have to heal yourself, because again, healing is about taking radical responsibility for what you have in front of you and what you are feeling inside. And once you have that shift where it stops being what's out there and it starts being more, what am I seeing, doing, believing that is contributing to this? How can I take responsibility for this? How can I manage my state so that I'm not having emotional outbursts or getting angry or crying all the time? And you know, those are symptoms of emotions that haven't been dealt with. And they manifest as so many things that are unrelated. You know, Elena was talking about earlier how they will come up in your body if you don't feel them. We are a unique generation, especially those of us who are between the ages of, you know, late 20s and 40. And why we're unique is because our parents were baby boomers and they were taught from a young age that you shouldn't feel your feelings. Their parents were in the war. Their parents had so much trauma and they shoved it aside. And so then what happened was our baby boomer parents learned from that, and they learned we shouldn't feel our feelings. We should just go, go, go. There were a lot of successful baby boomers, very successful generation. They wanted to help their parents. They wanted to get out of that war mentality that their parents had. They wanted to spoil their children, spoil their millennial children. Right? But in that, we have a disease rate among baby boomers that is unprecedented, that has never happened before when it comes to cancers, when it comes to Alzheimer's, when it comes to dementia, diabetes, autoimmune diseases. Our parents are getting them, and they're getting them young. And a lot of therapists and well-known doctors out there talk openly about this. And they say that the reason that these illnesses have manifested in these people is because they've been trained to suppress their emotions. And so as millennials, as children of those parents who are seeing their parents suffer, who are watching their parents just deal with illness, deal with, you know, these people are young, they're in their 50s and 60s and early 70s. And, you know, they're dealing with horrible things, especially right now. And we're seeing this and we're realizing, I don't want to be like that. I want to look after my health. I want to take some responsibility. But at the same time, we have a lot of their baggage stored in our bodies. And we have a lot. We're the first kind of movement of people that are learning to address our emotions, learning to address our traumas, learning to do the work. You know, it's hugely popular over social media now. You know, the holistic psychologist definitely helped that boom, but the spiritual and emotional and mental healing sectors of social media are huge. And it's a movement now because millennials and younger people are standing up and saying, I don't want to be sick. I want to look after myself. I want to take accountability for my own health. And so I guess how this relates to the WEGS of SCI community is like, these women have gone through traumas, especially like you were saying earlier, Elena, the ones that have gone through the shit with their partners. And a lot of these women have not stopped to heal themselves simply because they don't think they can. They're either working or they're caregiving and they're so stressed out they can't imagine spending any time on themselves. But what we're witnessing right now and what we've both experienced ourselves is when you get to a point of such stress, your body starts to shut down. It starts to send you messages that are, you can't avoid any longer.
you know, whether it's some sort of a manifested disease or whether it's some sort of complete fatigue or some sort of autoimmune, something that is trying to get your attention, right? And so a lot of us are literally being brought to our knees right now because we are trying to figure out what's going on. And the answer isn't out there. The answer is in here, in our hearts. So that's what we're seeing. And we're seeing it worldwide, not just in the WAGS community, but in the WAGS community, we have a really good opportunity, I think, to start doing little bits of the work on ourselves every single day and commit to that and see in real time how we handle stress, because that is the biggest test I find anyways. It's like you're healing, you're doing your healing, you're learning how to manage your feelings, you're learning how to manage your emotions, you know, you're taking the time for self-care, and then a bowel accident happens or a bladder accident happens or the nurses call in sick and you have to take over unexpectedly or you miss an appointment, and you can see and notice your progress. And you can feel it in your body. I don't know about you, but like, that's the biggest test for me, is like the real world bouncing off of me every day. And I can fine tune my responses and I can actually see, oh, I used to get asthma, or I used to get a pain in my chest, or I used to get a pain in my back when this situation happened, but now it's not happening as frequently. And I feel not as angry as I used to be, or whatever. I mean, I think we have a unique situation in our community where these kind of things can be used as beneficial in a way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that triggered stressor response is a big one. That's how you can sort of measure your your rate of elevation throughout the year or not, or the other way around. I know I myself, like even getting ready for the podcast and like for the meetings that we had this morning, I get like really, I feel like I'm like flying around the house, grabbing my coffee, trying to put my clothes on, the dog's barking, trying to make some breakfast or some coffee for my partner, whatever it is, right? And I feel like this is something that I'm like really aware of. I get really like stressed. I mean, the coffee probably doesn't help, but but still. And then you have to take a moment and be like, okay, take a couple seconds to breathe, to realign yourself. Because here I am trying to get the link to hop on this podcast and it's not even coming through. My technology demon is feeling my stress and is like, no, you're not doing this today. But in all seriousness, you do. You have to like almost like, I don't know, walk out of their room and just take a couple of deep breaths and like collect yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's something that I'm learning, is like, if you need to walk away and take a second and just take a few deep breaths so you can like be back in your own body instead of being like taken away by the energy of chaos, then do that. It's better to do that than not do anything at all. And then the remainder of your day will continuously spiral into more and more. It's like a snowball effect. And then you pile on more and more and more. And by 4 o'clock, you're like, I'm ready for bed. Yeah. And so it's kind of like being able to like manage your own stressors and your own feelings as well, especially being in caregivers. There, as you know, our government has set us up very well to give away everything. To give away all our energy, all of our time. Oh yes. And then in the middle of all of this, Dan's, my partner, saying, he's like, oh, because today was his bowel day. So he's like, oh no, I don't feel so good. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, of course, right? Of course, accidents will happen when you're already in that chaotic mood. Yeah. But, and then from there, where I'm already planning, I'm like, oh my God, okay. So how do we solve this problem? Where a lot of the time it's like, just let go and maybe you can't solve it. Maybe that's the way it has to go. But yeah, I think it takes a certain kind of person to be a caregiver to be able to drop everything you're doing to put somebody else ahead of you, and being able to also take a step back and manage that and be like, I don't need to do this right now. Is this a life or death situation? Can this wait for a minute? Can I do what I need to do in the time being? And that is a skill to have, and one that I have not mastered. So I'm working on it.
I'm glad that you brought this up, because I think
We wanted to do this intro episode just to explain to everybody what we're going to be talking about and get everybody thinking about themselves, about, you know, what leg of their journey they're on. If they're just starting, a lot of us are just starting. A lot of us have been working on themselves for years and years, and they might be frustrated with lack of progress. Or a lot of us are just like, you know what? I want to do what works for me. And everybody's so different, right? You know, like we were talking about earlier, everybody has different traumas and different things they need to heal. And so I think that having a toolbox of not just mental techniques or things that you know or have read about, but like real world tools to help you when you're in stressful situations, to help calm your body down, to help relax you, to help put you in the moment, like you were talking about earlier, grounding. All of these things come along the journey, and everybody has a unique tool set. And so Elena and I will be going through our tool set in the coming episodes of what works for us, what we've found along the way over the past, you know, 6 years and 8 years for both of us, and when we use them, why we use them. And, you know, I think one thing that people need to really understand is there is no curriculum and there is no time limit. And this is a lifelong commitment to yourself. It never ends. So I think when you accept that and you say, listen, this isn't just a healing journey. This is my new life. This is like how I'm going to focus my new life. A lot of us get brought to the end of our ropes, living just kind of asleep. Like we like to say, like we're asleep. Like so many people right now, 90% of the world are just walking around asleep. They're not accountable to themselves. They think things happen to them. They feel like they are not capable of responding in any which way. They feel helpless. And, you know, that's why we have such a problem with addiction, and because people are seeking outside sources to help them feel complete inside. And it's never going to work. It's never going to work. And so we are going to get into all of this in the coming month. And so we wanted to kind of send all of our listeners a little challenge. And there's a couple of things to the challenge. So the first challenge is over the next week, before we release the next episode, to kind of step back from yourself and observe yourself. And notice what your triggers are. Notice, if you already know what your triggers are, notice where you need to work. Like, what are the worst triggers still? Do you have physiological responses in your body? This kind of like step back idea is called witness consciousness. And it's something that psychologists, psychiatrists, gurus, they all talk about it. Awareness, being aware of your actions, being aware of your thoughts, as your thoughts are not you, they're just thoughts, just like my hand is just a hand or this phone is just a phone. It's a mechanism. It's something that we can use, right? It doesn't mean that it's us. So just observing yourself over the next week and kind of pinpointing where you're struggling, noticing when you start to get an elevated heart rate, noticing when you feel like you have a response to something that you don't understand why you were triggered, and feel right. It. You know, like start to look at yourself as kind of like a science project.
And I think sort of going back to what you're saying about your thoughts are not your thoughts is another great example is that sit for a second and like say to yourself, like say hello to yourself, to your inner self, and then say hello to yourself again. So recognizing that that is the voice that is speaking to you. And that you will have the same voice thinking a million trillion thoughts per day, per minute. They're not all your own. They're just thoughts. It's like, oh, that tree is green. I'm seeing that the tree is green. Or sometimes you'll have racing thoughts like, did I call so-and-so? Mm-hmm. And then it will speed into something more like, oh my God, I didn't call so-and-so. They're going to forever hate me. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then you go into this like weird chatter. That's not even like realistic, right? It's not even real. It's not even true. A lot of the time it's not even true. And then I think that a lot of the time we take those thoughts, like, especially with our partners, like, oh my gosh, did I do that properly? Will my partner get a pressure sore now? Or is he going to die? Is he going to be hospitalized? It's like that stuff. It's not even happening. It's not even true. But those thoughts are the very thing that can get us completely disconnected from ourselves, from the present of whatever it is that we're seeing, whatever it is that we're doing. And that is the kind of stuff to recognize. And once you start to like recognize, oh my God, those thoughts aren't even me. They're not even true. That's like the first step that it was for me for like my sort of, I want to say healing. I don't know, healing, just recognition, right? Just being able to recognize that like, okay, not every single thing that comes into my brain with all these thoughts is mine. It's not true. It's just a thought. It's like, thanks, brain. Thanks for letting me know. thanks for letting me know that this could happen, but it might not.
Yeah. And you'll notice that when you have nights of racing thoughts, or you have racing thoughts or periods of overwhelm, it's usually when your nervous system is activated, or you've had a stressful day, or something crazy has happened that is unexpected. It is a manifestation of what is happening in your body. And thoughts are thought forms. Even modern science has proven this. Thought forms are thought forms. You can actually pick up on group thought forms as well. That's why there's this whole movement about how easy it is for technology to program people, because you can pretty much insert thoughts into somebody's brain. And this isn't like a schizophrenia paranoia thing. This is like an actual science thing. Like, this is thought forms and programming and, you know, the internal critic that we all have. Some people have a really, really strong internal critic. I know I do. And I've had to learn to sit with that internal critic and realize that it's someone that was a young child that was just trying to protect her parents and keep her family together. And it's not actually me right now. Right. So once you get, like you were talking about, one of the biggest things you've done was just to separate yourself from your thoughts and observe them instead of judging them or reacting to them. I feel like a lot of the problems that people have along these journeys of healing is when they get to that state of witness consciousness where they can witness their thoughts instead of identifying with them, they judge them. And they think that there's something wrong with them. And I think that that is normal for everybody, to where you have to work through that, where you're like judging your thoughts as, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. And that just makes the thoughts stronger and more persistent. As someone who has struggled with intrusive thoughts my whole life, I can attest to this. I can honestly say that I have healed from intrusive thoughts. It is possible. It is what they say it is, that you can heal from overactive brain and overactive thoughts once you start to realize that, oh, I'm just trying, this is a younger version of myself trying to protect me. So it's not really about disassociating from those thoughts or judging those thoughts. It's more just an attitude of acceptance. So we challenge anybody out there listening who wants to tune in for the next 3 episodes this January to witness themselves. Just witness themselves over the next week and just don't judge yourself. We've warned you. We've warned you. Don't go there. Don't judge your thoughts, because they will scream at you, right?
Yes. And also, I just want to say that, yes, this kind of stuff is a lot of work. Like, even I remember last year, you went through and you did a whole bunch of videos for yoga and posted them on the private group. And it's always very interesting to me to see how many people contribute or participate in the really hard work that has to be done. And there's always like a decent group of women that are like, yes, I'm going to do it. This is my year. This is going to be about me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do self-care. I'm going to actually take care of myself. And more self-care than just going to the spa or getting your nails done, right? Like, that is very mainstream media self-care, where it's like, ah, you do you, girl, go get your hair done. Not to say that it's not important. You should take care of yourself, of course. But the self-care that's like the internal stuff, the stuff that you only you yourself know, the stuff that only your diary knows about, that you don't even have to share with anybody, that you can do that. You're capable of doing that with just a few tools. And I think that that's why this community is great too, is because a lot of women come forward with tips and tricks and things that they've learned from their therapist, from the people that are in their corner. So one of the things that we want to leave you guys with today are a couple of thoughts and a couple of questions. And I'm going to ask you first, Brooke, from my very cool deck that I got this Christmas in my stocking. I'll show you. It is cool to connect, and it came in my Sage Wellness bundle. So Sage is like natural wellness scents and diffuser blends and lotions and whatnot. So this one, the cool to connect box, I picked out this question, and it is, what is something you think everybody should experience in life? That's a deep one.
Yeah.
But it's a good one. It's a good one. You should think about it. Take it away and be like, what is one thing that I think that everybody should experience in life? Maybe it's something that you yourself have not experienced yet that you think that everybody should.
That's a good one, because everybody listening can do this as well, can start to examine what they think. And I tend to think that the response is going to be just like you said earlier, like a kind of like a projection of what you've been through and you think everybody needs to experience. But I personally, and this is probably going to be a little abstract to a lot of people, and that's okay. I'm just going to be honest. I think everybody needs to become acquainted with who they really are in their life. I think that you will struggle if you don't. I think that life is not meant to be a struggle. And I think that if you are acquainted with and open the floodgates and have just a little seed of inquiry into, I want to find out who I really am. I feel out of alignment. I don't feel happy. There's something missing. That is the first step to finding out who you are. And again, that is a lifelong journey. But as long as you have the question in your mind, that little seed that says, look inward, look deeper, something's missing. Usually that's the biggest thing, is like people realize that something's missing. They could say, oh, I have everything I want and I'm still not happy. Or things are fine now and I'm still not content. That's a sign you need to go inward. And so I think everybody needs to meet who they really are, and everybody needs to figure out the simplicity of that and live like that. And I know that's a big thing, but just having the drive to do that is the most important thing, because you'll be guided to find who you really are. What about you?
Well, that's a really good one. I feel like that's a really great question and a really great way to look at it, considering that it's Happy New Year, Happy You Year, mm-hmm. right? This is a year that I keep on seeing everybody saying, this is my year. This is the year I'm going to flourish. That's it. I'm going to take life by its horns and really focus on myself. So I think that's a really good perspective. Again, one of the things that I've struggled with personally, and I know that a lot of people do, is, okay, I'm not happy, but now what? Where do I go? What does that mean to sit still and be quiet and listen to my inner voice? And what does that mean to find yourself? A lot of people just don't have the tools and skills for that, because we're just not aware. You know, maybe nobody's ever asked us this. It's a big practice.
Especially when you're stressed.
Yeah, yeah.
That little voice can't come through.
And being a caregiver is a stressful job. I'm not going to deny it. Caring for somebody else. And a lot of the time, if you have a personality like mine, which is putting other people before you without really even thinking, it's deep conditioning, that sometimes I'll stop and be like, oh my gosh, I feel like what's been happening to me. And then I'll let my own self-care go. And then I feel even worse. That being able to balance that is a really important skill. Being able to balance your own needs and care while caring for somebody else without being resentful or angry or tired or cranky or whatnot. Maybe you forgot to feed yourself in the span of caring for other people, and then you don't understand why your physiological body is like screaming at you, being like, I'm so tired and hungry. And that's not what we want. We want this group to continue being positive and happy and friendly and while still looking at all of our own stuff. So what is something you think everyone should experience in life? I think true happiness. Everybody should experience what it feels like to be truly happy. What does that mean? What do I mean? The other day, I was going for a walk to my pottery studio, which is quite close. And I wore my rubber boots. It was raining, and I don't typically like to walk in the rain, for example. But I kept on walking, and I decided I would splash in all the puddles along the way. Like a child, literally. And every single puddle that was there, I was like, splash, splash. Well, my little wellies got rainwater in them. And instead of being upset, I was like, whatever. like, this is just the way it is. But in that moment, walking by myself, there was nobody out. When it rains in Vancouver, a lot of the time people hide inside, even though it's like, it rains here 75% of the year. There was nobody on the seawall. It was just me splashing around in puddles. And I sort of thought to myself, being able to sort of like listen to your like inner voice, inner like child, to do the things that you want, like a self-expression. Self-expression is huge. When you're really are like, oh, you know, you've been told as a child, don't splash in puddles or don't get wet, don't get messy, don't get dirty. And then sort of analyzing that and being like, but why? Like, there is no harm to anybody here. What's the worst thing that can happen? I'm not going to get hurt. It's just water. It dries up. Being able to sort of like rationalize that and just go with it, I was like, you know what? I'm truly happy right now. This is a good moment. I feel good. So anyways, that's just a small example, very small example, but I think self-expression and also listening to your inner child of like creating a being, of following that inner guidance is huge. And it sounds like the smallest thing, but if you continue to do that, let's say once a week for the rest of the year, think about where you will be in 1 year. You'll really get to know yourself.
I'm glad you said 1 year, because I would say that I was thinking, you know, about what you said earlier about the spa and, you know, people want to go to the gym in January. They want to work on themselves, which is so important. Don't get me wrong. It's really important. And sometimes physical fitness is the gateway to emotional fitness, right? Start doing yoga, you start working out, things start coming up that you didn't expect. You're like, what is this? Oh, I need to go there, right? That being said, I think people get frustrated because this isn't something that happens overnight. This is, like we said, a lifelong commitment and a lifelong journey. And when you go to the gym and you do bicep curls, you don't expect to have muscular shredded arms from that one workout session, right?
Are you sure? Are you sure you don't?
I but do. It like you can't, like, you know, that's just like, you go to the gym, you expect, you know, you come home, you're so sore the next day, and your body doesn't look any different, but you have to keep going. You have to keep finding that spark, right? It's the same spark that you're going to need for mental, emotional, spiritual work. That spark, the spark that keeps going, because you know that it is good for you. It becomes the same as doing any repetitive activity. It becomes boring. You feel like you're in a standstill. You feel like nothing's changing. You feel like you're not doing anything. These are all very normal, necessary steps. And please don't give up, because it's the same thing as working a muscle. It takes a long time. Like, I think trainers will say, if you work out every day and you diet perfectly for 6 months, you can change your body completely. That's 6 months. That's a long time. And that's if you work out every day, and that's if you eat perfectly. So think about how long it takes to change your physical body. Programmed thoughts and habits and beliefs that are in your body and that express themselves through anxiety, depression, intrusive thoughts, those have been there since childhood. So that takes a long time to change. And I would argue that it never goes away. You just learn to manage it, and you have a bigger ability to manage it within yourself so that you can be happy and joyful. And you know what it is every time it comes up. You can handle yourself. You feel strong. You feel capable. You feel empowered. The 8-year-old, the 6-year-old that has had trauma or was abused or was left behind or had parents that got divorced or was really sick and had medical trauma, that person's still in your body. It's you. It remembers. The body keeps score. It does, right? And so if you really understand that.
it's like the meme. Can somebody please tell the body to stop keeping score? We're done
for anybody wondering why we're referencing this, this is the groundbreaking book called The Body Keeps Score. And that is something that I think anybody looking into body work and how the body impacts the mind should definitely read. But throughout the month, we're going to be giving a lot of book recommendations. We're going to be going into our personal toolkits and explaining things that are really helpful to us. And so before we let you guys go today, we just want to get you thinking about your own mental state and what you want out of your own mental and emotional health, and bring those thoughts to the next podcast. And who knows,
we could answer a question or something could come up that really resonates with you and your journey and sparks something in you or helps you with something. You never know, right? And so we're really looking forward to the next few episodes.
Yes. To be 100% about you, the caregiver, or you, the partner. You might even surprise yourself. You might learn something new. You might be able to share something new with us. Yes. I'm for sure you'll be able to share something new with us. I'm always learning every day, learning something new and surprising myself. And that's what's so great to have a community, right? That's why we have a community like this of WAGS of SCI.
Yes. We're never done learning, ever. We're never done learning. We're never done healing.
And the more you learn, the more you realize that you really don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh God, there's so much.
The humbler you get.
So much we don't know.
I'm going to draw one of my cards now. This is from...
Yes, I hear you shuffling.
I'm shuffling, So this is from the Chopra deck, the Deepak Chopra deck of affirmations. Oh, this is a good one. So this is the one that I drew. And it says... Human beings can never be satisfied with limited fulfillment. We are designed to transcend. And the affirmation is, I acknowledge and follow the yearning inside of me.
Well, that seems very fitting for the topic that we're speaking on right now.
That's interesting how that happens, hey? Anybody out there who does tarot cards or affirmation cards will know that it seems to always happen where it's a card you want to see or you need to see. At the very moment.
There's actually another deck that I have that's like, if you're not really into tarot, more into daily blessings. Mm-hmm. And that's a good one too. There, you pick a card and it's like the blessing of the sea or the blessing of you or something that you need to know, something that can really sort of take you out, especially when you're having a bit of that stressful moment where you can keep in your purse and you can just pick a card and sort of take your mind into the words and the meanings and the whatever you're reading there on paper to sort of separate yourself from that very disconnected feeling, right? Yes, you're able to ground yourself a little bit better.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's definitely something that we can talk about in other episodes in the toolkit, because I think that it's so helpful to have your daily reminders, especially when you're really struggling and you're trying to break a habit. You know, Dr. Joe Dispenza, his book is called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. It is the hardest habit to break because you've built these walls up and then your body's going to fight you back. And so during those days when you just feel totally deflated and totally like, this is horrible. What's going on? What's happening to me? Am I going crazy? Then you can, actually look at some affirmations. And even if you're religious and you're doing this kind of work and you're doing it with kind of like a religious Christian spin or whatever religion you are, they have religious affirmations and Bible verses. I'm sure everybody knows about it. So it's all just about that daily reminder of like, from authors or gurus or teachers who have been there, who have done a lot of this work already, who have been through it. It's so important to have a connection there because you're going to feel lost. You're going to feel like you're drowning. You're going to feel like you're treading water. You're going to feel like you're in
place. This is very true. So to leave you guys on a positive note, thank you for joining the WAGS of SCI podcast, the first one of 2023. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a slightly different few episodes of the podcast, really focusing on the women in the group, the individual beside the partner in the chair. There are a heap of supports for people with spinal cord injury, and there are not that many supports for the partners. So that is something to keep in mind, that we are doing something completely different. For anybody wondering why these podcast episodes are focusing on the partner, that is why. There are very limited supports for the partners, and we want to keep celebrating life, love, and relationships, and we want to support people wanting to work through their relationships as difficult as they can be when you're caring for somebody with an ailment or disability. We want to keep you guys feeling positive and good about living this life. And just because stressors come up doesn't mean that it's forever. So please send in any tools, tips, or tricks that you may have for the WAGS of SCI podcast. We are all ears. Our email is wagsofsci@gmail.com. Our website is www.wagsofsci.com. And please just, you know, keep moving forward. Send those in. We're always very excited to read you guys' DMs, messages, emails. So until next time, take care of yourself and love each other. Cheers.
Cheers.